You know, we're in the third week of our series on the power of love. And tonight I want to talk to you about putting love in action and how to do that. What does it look like? So why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Ask the Lord to give us soft, tender hearts, a receptive heart, put aside our worries and our cares and our concerns and look to Him and ask Him to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we just thank You tonight for the unbelievable love, Lord, the incredible love, the sacrificial love that You've shown to every one of us here this evening. We look out on a world tonight, Lord, that is crumbling, a world that's falling apart. I read today, Lord, of a little 12-year-old boy who beat his 6-year-old brother today with a baseball bat because he snuck out of the house. You know, Lord, it just blows my mind that You love the world. I'm just struck every time I read John 3:16 that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son. You gave Your Son for that 12-year-old boy. You gave Your Son for every Albanian, for every Chinese, for every African, for every American, for every European, for every person that's ever lived. Lord, tonight we just ask You that You would open our hearts to be responsive to Your Word. We ask You, Lord, tonight that You would speak to us clearly. We'd have hearts that are tender, hearts that say, Lord, just teach me. I'm eager to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you from Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. There was a man, he came to Jesus, and he was asking Jesus about eternal life. And Jesus asked him, what is written in the law? And he replied, how do you read it? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus answered correctly, or Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly, do this and you will live. You know, we hear this phrase often, love your neighbor as yourself. And as you know, I told you last week and the week before that other than Jesus Christ, as the person of Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, the topic of love is probably the central theme of the New Testament. That is probably love and grace. They sort of go hand in hand. And over and over and over again, the New Testament tells us to love one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But in the book of Romans and in the Gospels, excuse me, we see this Old Testament command repeated, love your neighbor as yourself. I want to read to you something tonight out of a little booklet called A Revolution of Love. I read this book probably every year, and I have for the last about 22 years since it was given to me. It's a profound little booklet. Very easy to read, very direct, very blunt, and very to the point. It's written by a man named George Vuehr. And he goes into explaining what love your neighbor as yourself really means. A Christian is at all times indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and so has all his potential for this tremendous revolution of love. The Holy Spirit is there just waiting to take possession of a man and make him loving. He's just waiting to move that man to volunteer for the washing up, for the cleaning the toilets, for cleaning out the back of the trucks. The Holy Spirit is ready and waiting to make him willing to take the low road and jump ahead of his brother in the dirty task. But what happens? Our pride, our stubbornness, our egocentric living quench the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. What then does all this talk about love really mean? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you love yourself? How do you love yourself this morning? You got out of bed groggily, wiped all the sleep out of your eyes, went to the mirror and said, oh, how I love you. You are so wonderful. I love you, I love you, I love you so much. Did you? Well, if you did, and if you do that too many mornings, someone might call in a psychiatrist for you. That's not the way we love ourselves. That's the way we love our neighbors. That's right. The Lord bless you, dear brother. Yes, yes, the Lord bless you. And the Lord do wonderful things for you. We sign our letters, love in Christ, and think, well, that's another one out of the way. Well, that's not the way we love ourselves. Perhaps we can understand love better if we use the word care. You've been caring for yourself all day long. Ever since this morning when you woke up, and your self-love automatically went into action. You had to wash and shave, brush your teeth, use a few creams and lotions, and put the proper amount of clothes on to keep your body warm. Shortly after getting out of bed, you had a little pain in your tummy, very slight, but enough to get you into action. Immediately started toward the coffee pot, the bread, the jam, the fruit, the cereal, however you start your day. If you're really honest, you'll probably have to say that as you came to the table, you weren't wondering if there was enough kitchen help, if there was some in the group unable to come to breakfast this morning, people to whom you could take some food. No, you sat down and noticing there was no margarine on your table, you began to look for some on another table. He did this at a big conference, so that was the context here. And then they put it in print. You are taking care of yourself automatically. I'm not saying that this is wrong, neither does Jesus. It is wonderful that Jesus knows all about us. If humanity could only grasp this truth, this is what he writes. We could burn all the psychology books in a good-sized trash can. One leading psychologist recently said that if we took all the straw from the psychology books of our day, what we would have left would be far inferior to the Sermon on the Mount. All for men and women that would follow the revolutionary psychology of the man who understood the human mind better than Freud, Adler, Jung, and all the rest put together. God doesn't say that you should not love yourself, but he does say that you should love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself. He does not say that you should not have breakfast, but he does say you should be concerned about your brother's breakfast as well. This is the greatest challenge in the Word of God. To love men as Christ loved them, to love them as we love ourselves, to care for men as we care for ourselves. And I want to talk to you tonight about love in action. Love is not emotion. Love is action. Love is self-sacrificial. Love is laying our life on the line, putting others' interests before our own, and seeing that their needs are met. Our needs will get met, believe me. We're very good at that. You know, it's interesting. Very interesting. I've dealt with people who are very discouraged. I've dealt with people who even have told me they're depressed. But it's interesting, when the person came over to my house to talk, their hair was combed, their clothes were on, and their teeth were brushed. I'm not saying they don't need help. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they don't need encouragement. I'm just saying that if you stop and think about it, just about every person I've ever known, no matter what state they were in, took care of themselves to a degree. Now, some people, when they get extremely depressed, yes, they just sit in the wall, they don't groom themselves, they don't clean, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But Vuhrer makes a very good point. We care for ourselves. That's how we need to interpret love. Love is caring for other people. In Luke chapter 9, verse 48, excuse me, Jesus writes, is speaking here, and this is from the Living Bible, and he says this: anyone who takes care of a little child like this is caring for me. And whoever cares for me is caring for God who sent me. Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. I've just burned that phrase in my mind. I think about that phrase every day. I want to be great in the kingdom of God. I'm not lying about that. I want you to be great in the kingdom of God. God wants you to be great in the kingdom of God. God wants you to want to be great in the kingdom of God. But you need to understand what it means to be great. And what it means to be great in the kingdom of God is that you care for other people. You care for the least, you care for the biggest, the tallest, the prettiest, the lowliest, the homeliest, the unlovable, the lovable, all alike. You care for others. Now, why would Jesus take a child? It's interesting. Here Jesus is in this crowd, and he puts a child on his knee. You remember what the disciples did. Lord, Lord, we don't have time for these little children. We don't have time to take care of these kids. We got more important things to do. And Jesus said, suffer the little children. Let them come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And later, In another message, he simply tells them, the way you care for children is caring for me. For me, Jesus said. Did you ever think for a moment you could show God your affection? Did you ever think for a moment you could show God that God needs your care? Doesn't God care for all the children? And doesn't God take care of Himself? But what the Bible tells us is that when you care for others, and when you care for the least, you're caring for Jesus Himself. He takes it very, very personal. And then He goes on to say, not only are you caring for me, but you're caring for God who sent me. And then He says to them, the way you care for others is the measure of your greatness. And I remember when I first came to know Christ, when I first started following Christ, these principles really got a hold on my life, because before I came to Christ, I didn't do anything around the home except maybe mow the lawn. And the only fight that I ever got into my father with, my father he didn't want to tangle with, my father was a Golden Glove champion. My father had had 132 fights and 100 knockouts. My father would never hit us. But I always thought, you know, when I was 17, 18, I'd be stronger than my dad. And I was wrong. But you know how you are when you're young. You like to think you are. And one day, he told me to vacuum. And I told him where to go. It's the first time I'd ever done that. Thought I'd, you know, try it, see what happened. Didn't go over very good. So he grabbed me by the arm, pointed me to the vacuum, said, pick up the vacuum, you live here, you help clean. And I pushed him. Next thing I knew, I was on the floor on my back. And I couldn't move very well. And by the way, I don't consider it abuse. I got what was coming to me. I was a smart punk. You know, he didn't push me. I was just in a wrestling hold, and there I was, you know. But I was mad. I was so hot. I stormed out of there swearing and cussing, got in my car and peeled out, and didn't come home for a couple days, I don't think. I was a rebel. I guess that's my point. I used to pay my brothers and sisters to go to the store and buy stuff for me while I laid on the couch and watched whatever I wanted. I had the money. I worked a lot. I worked about 40 hours a week during my high school years. I'd rather work and have money than go to school. That was my mentality. And so I'd give them 25 cents. They went to the store and got me ice cream bars and potato chips. My philosophy was, I only did what I wanted to do. If I didn't feel like doing it, I didn't do a thing. So I got saved. It was obviously I needed to get saved, you know. It needed to be some radical changes in Mark's life. So I committed my life to Christ radically when I was 19. And the very next day, the first thing that my conscience became aware of was that I needed to contribute to those in this home. That my mother has spent her life breaking her back for me. It's time for me to break my back for her. And I began, without even being asked, to see what needed to be done, to help set the table for dinner, to mow the lawn without being asked, to take out the trash, to do whatever, because I realized that if Christ means anything in my life, then I will show it by loving others as I love myself. In Mark chapter 10, I want to read this to you this evening. In verse 42, I want to examine with you for just a moment, how did Jesus show us His love? And I want you to think about that as I read this. Jesus called the 12 together and He said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. What He's saying is, the Romans and people in power, they're great at giving orders. They have slaves, they hire them, do this! Do that, kind of like I was as a teenager. I'd sit there on the couch, say, Paul, come in here. Hey, I'll give you 50 cents. Go get this for me. And that's how the Gentile rulers work. That's how politicians work. But Jesus said, this isn't the way it's to be with you. Instead, whoever wants to be your leader, whoever wants to be great among you, must be the servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And here we have Jesus, God in the flesh, saying, I didn't come to be served. I didn't come to be the Michael Jordan of your time. I didn't come to be worshipped. I didn't come to have people line up for my autographs. I came to serve the masses. I came not to take, but I came to give. For God so loved the world that he gave. You're never more like God than when you give. Give of yourself, give of your time, give of your resources, give of your love, give of your listening ear, give of your friendship. When you give, it is more blessed to give than to get. That's how Jesus lived, and that's how Jesus taught us to live. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, I don't mind that you want to be great. I want you to be great. Here's how you're great. Here's how you're great in the kingdom of God. You become a servant. You serve. I was really blessed the other day. I was talking to my daughter. She's in Colorado. My oldest son and daughter are spending the summer out there for a leadership training program that we have. And they're cleaning lodges out there for the summer. So you can vacuum. There's a lot of different things you can do. They're on these teams with people from all over the world. There's people there from Estonia, people there from Poland, from Australia. Many of them don't know the Lord. And so I said, well, Celeste, what did you do today? She said, Dad, I spent the whole day cleaning toilets. She says, I was on a crew today. I was the only believer on that team. And she said, I just knew that one of the ways to make an impression on these folks was to just volunteer and step right up and say, I'll clean all the bathrooms. And she said, boy, Dad, at the end of the day, I felt so dirty, I took a shower. I was touched by that. I have to say, I was more encouraged by that than an A in a class. Even though an A in a class is fine, I have nothing against it. I'm more encouraged by a young man or young woman, whoever they may be, or an old man or old woman, or a middle-aged man or middle-aged woman, who say, you know what, I'll do the dirty work. Hey, I'll step right up. What can I do? I was touched tonight. One of the gals that's in the band this evening, she said, you know, Mark, I got off work at 5. She has a little girl, single mom. I had to take her to her father. I was in Bloomington during rush hour to Cottage Grove and then drive back and be here. She said, so I got off work. I drove there. I got back by 6:15 and I was here ready to play. And I was just kind of overwhelmed. I just thought, Lord, that's why Evergreen is so great. Men and women like this young woman who are going way out in extraordinary effort, got a little child, got to drive him over to Dad, an hour and a half away during rush hour, all that stress that goes with it, come back ready to play, practice, so that by 7:30 she can be in the band. You know, that's normal at Evergreen. That's really normal. I mean, it's extraordinary. Don't take me wrong. I don't poo-poo that. I think it's an extraordinary effort, and I'm very encouraged by it. But there's so many people who put that kind of effort into this church every single week who make it happen. They're like Christ. They're trying to imitate Christ. They're trying to serve. Then I want to read to you out of Philippians in chapter 2. This is a passage, probably, if you were to look in my Bible, the edges of the pages are probably most worn right around this area because I've needed to go over this so much in my life. This is a challenge. When I read this, you'll know it's a challenge for all of us, but it's a challenge for me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. You know, we can think pretty highly of ourselves. I can think pretty highly of myself. I can think to myself, gee whiz, you know, I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to come to Evergreen. And I mean, I'm one of the pastors. I shouldn't have to walk through the aisles here and check and see if there's trash and bulletins laying around and pick them up. I mean, someone else ought to do that. I mean, I shouldn't have to look out there in front of the door and see if there's trash and pick it up. Or I can think this at home. I can think, man, you know, I'm the husband. I shouldn't have to do the laundry. I got a job. Then she realized all the things I have going on, all the concerns I have. And I made it a point. I wasn't raised like this. Men, we can learn. I want you to know this, we can learn. My father, I don't think, ever changed a diaper his whole life. You know, men's work was the yard, the car, the job. That's fine. Mom's work was the house, the kids, food, laundry, ironing. And the two never met. I came to Christ. I was raised, you know, in that kind of environment, that kind of family. But I realized something very unique about Jesus. I realized that if Jesus was my dad, Jesus would mow the lawn, and then wash his hands and do the laundry. And then Jesus would wash his hands and change the baby's diapers. And then Jesus would go get the diaper paper for those of us who are old enough to have used paper cloth diapers. You know what it's like to half flush one down the toilet. You know what it's like to lift off the lid where they've been soaking and the ammonia hits you. Some of you don't realize the sacrifices that some of us have made in days gone by. You just take that little paper thing, go, boom, throw it in the wastebasket. Big deal. You know what I'm saying? That's okay, I've used paper too. Or what it's like, you know, say to my wife, you know, as you can tell, my sinuses bother me from time to time, and sometimes they're terrible, and sometimes they keep her up all night. I've slept many a night on the couch. I say, Kathy, I'm not going to keep you up. This is insane. You need a good night's sleep. I'll go out and sleep on the couch. Doesn't bother me. I love you. Or grab the vacuum, cleaned it up. You know, those Kirby's, they're not as good as everybody claims. But I got one. I've had it for 12 years. And they get dirty fast, and you got to take them apart and clean them or they don't work. So I'm there taking it apart, putting it back together, pushing the vacuum because it bothers my wife's back. I try to do whatever I can do because I try to think, you know, I want my children to grow up knowing what it's like to be like Christ. To be like Christ. Love serves. See, love goes out of its way for other people. That's what love's about. That's love in action. And that's the attitude that Christ wants us to take. You know, the Bible says in Romans, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor, to please him, to build him up. See, we really don't need all these books that are written about, you know, the things women wish men knew and the things men wish women knew. All you've got to do is imitate Christ and you'll be a very attractive person.
Amen.
Can I? Thank you very much. That is the truth. What do you think it would be like to be married to Jesus? In female form or male form? I mean, would it be extraordinary or what? Someone who's always looking out for you. Someone who's always caring about you. Someone who's tender. Someone who's sensitive. Someone who's firm when they need to be. Someone full of wisdom. Someone full of compassion. I mean, is that not what we're to be? Listen, I personally believe, I do not believe we can get all the gifts of the Spirit. I believe we can get all Christ-likeness. I believe that God can complete our personality in Jesus Christ if we want it. If we're willing to submit, I ask myself, if we have the Holy Spirit, what fruit of God don't we get with the Spirit? Just ask yourself that question. If you doubt my reasoning, what I just said a moment ago, that we can come to completeness of personality, well, what part of God's personality weren't we given? What part of His fruit weren't we given? If the Holy Spirit lives in us, His fruits can be evident in our life. And we can become thoughtful when we were used to be thoughtless. We can become considerate when we used to be inconsiderate. We can become sensitive where we used to be harsh. We can become gentle where we used to be gruff. All those things can be ours in Jesus Christ. All those things must be ours in Jesus Christ if we're going to turn the world upside down. Servanthood is the call of God on our lives. Jesus came to serve, and think about this, He's still serving today. Have you ever thought for a moment, what is most of our prayer lives but demands that we've asked of God? I mean, here we are, Jesus is in heaven, and He gives us all these prayer promises. Ask me, ask me, ask me. In other words, let me reinterpret. What would you have me do for you? I'm still your servant, just like I was when I was on the planet. He's still serving us today. And we ask, well, Lord, you know, I could use a raise, Lord. Lord, I could use a new job. Lord, I could use a futon. Lord, I could use a car for my kids. Lord, you know, we're trying to raise funds for them to go to this mission trip. We just ask you that you'd provide them. And then what do? We wait on God to serve us. He's still in the business of serving today. The God of the universe stoops and humbles himself to serve degraded human beings. But he loves us. And again, in Christ, we're not degraded anymore. We're new. But I'm just saying, you know, some days we're really raunchy, aren't we? Some days, as I said, the first week of the series, we're just real ugly. We're real pathetic. Lord doesn't go, you know what? Screw you. I'm not serving you today. Hey, don't you come to me with your burdens. You don't deserve it. I'm not bearing a thing from you today. You smart aleck, ungrateful pig. But you know, God doesn't do that to us. We come to Him at any time and give Him our burdens. He's still in the business of serving us today. You cannot be a great lover without being a great servant. And I'm not talking about sex either. You cannot be a great lover without being a great servant. Our love is shown through acts of service. If we are to imitate Ephesians 5:1, do you remember what Ephesians 5:1 said? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live a life of love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for you. If you're going to imitate Christ, if you want to live a radical Christian lifestyle, then you must imitate His servanthood, because servanthood is love in action. Servanthood is love in action. You know, there's a guy, young man here who... He helps with the PA. His name is Tim. And I know Tim a little bit. And the other day he was helping me do something. And I was just asking him how things were going. He said, well, you know, March, April, May. They were really challenging months, Mark. He said, my back's really bad. I was working about 80 hours a week. And the PA, the school had rented out Saturdays, so we had to set up every Friday, then tear down Friday night, then come back Sunday and set up. And usually we don't have to do that. You know, we can set up on Friday and leave it till Sunday afternoon. So he said, you know, I was kind of short on help, and I was scrambling, and so I'd come for my two jobs with my bad back. He didn't tell it to me this way. I put it together. And I'd help set up, and then I'd tear down, then I'd show up Sunday and help set up, and sometimes tear down. And then I'd spend about 8 hours of my own time during the week scrambling, trying to call as many people as I knew to see if I could get people to help. And I was really blessed by that. Again, I'm just telling you, there are extraordinary men and women in this church. Just extraordinary. But what, you know what kind of broke my heart? As I thought about that, I thought, gee whiz. He shouldn't have had to bust his butt like that. I mean, there ought to be servants just coming out of the walls of this church if our Christianity really means something to us. If our Christianity is real and authentic, and we say we want to love God, and we say we care about God, then we must become servants. We don't have an option. Our only option is to simply disobey God and say, you know what, God, I don't care enough. I'm not going to. I don't want to. But if we realize that servanthood is your primary opportunity to show God you love Him. This is why Paul writes in Romans 12. I urge you therefore, brethren, in view of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service of love. In other words, he says your reasonable service of worship. It's reasonable. In light of everything the Lord's done for us, everything He's given us, we just put our life right out there and say, you know what, Lord? I'll set up chairs. I'll plug in wires. I'll take care of some little kids. I'll help serve some donuts. I'll say hello to people. I'll walk the parking lot looking for lights to turn off. Lord, I'll be on the cigarette butt patrol, picking up the butts after the service. Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, here I am. My joy is to serve you by serving others. I want you to think about that. I want you to take a moment, if you would, and take the sheet out that you have inside of your program. You know, at Evergreen, there are many opportunities and needs to serve other people. Many of them. So many of them. I was so encouraged. I got a call from a woman the other day who's been coming to Evergreen for about a year and a half. Her husband passed away of cancer. And she said, you know, Mark, I was wondering, I'd like to start a grief group. Do you think it's a good idea? I said, I think it's a great idea. Or we've got a heart ministry that helps people when they have a baby or they have a death in the family or they have just going through a struggle or a financial difficulty or they need some food, or they call and they go out of their way and they drive around and they try to help these folks. Or every week we have people that come and they set up this service to make it go. You know, Evergreen, I just want you to know something. You are among the most extraordinary people that I have had the privilege of working with in the 22 years I've been a Christian. And I want to tell you one of the reasons why. One of the reasons that we see the kind of metal that you're made out of every week is that we don't own our own building, and we probably never will. That demands so much more of our people, it's unbelievable. And you all have risen to the occasion time and time and time again. Imagine for a moment if this was ours. The speakers were never moved, the wires were never jiggled, the levels were never changed. Everything was just in its place. Imagine how much easier all of that would be. Imagine how much more that would cost us. $100 million or more dollars for the size of the church that we're expecting to build here. But it's so labor intensive. And you men and women have shown what you're made of time and time and time again. And we just want to let you know, there are more opportunities. There are more opportunities, more little kids that need some teachers or some teachers that need some helpers. There are refreshments out there that need served. The tape library, we have thousands and thousands of tapes going out. And we need duplicators. We need people who will come. They'll train you. They'll show you how to do everything. You may not think you're capable. You are capable. You know, something really struck me. I tell you this little story. Just because I was just kind of shocked by it. My little boy came home. I got a little boy. He's 9 years old. And he came home one day after church and I said, well, Mike, how was church today? He said, man, Dad, it was great. I said, well, oh, why was it so great? He said, I taught the Sunday school class today. I said, what? Whoa, we are really in trouble. I'm thinking, we're really got a shortage of teachers. You know, my 9-year-old's teaching a class. And he goes, well, no, actually the teacher was there, but the teachers asked, does anybody want to teach it? And I said, yeah, I want him. I said, okay, well, how'd it go? He said, it was great, Dad. I had these timeouts planned. They had 3 warnings, and if they crossed the line, they had to go be with the kindergartners. I'm really serious. I'm really serious. And he said, I read this story, and we did this stuff. He said, we just had a great time. And I was so touched, for one, that the teacher even let him do that. But I was so convicted by my 9-year-old's passion to step out. And the other day, I live on this acre, this rented acre of land. And the biggest thing I miss, besides missing my children, I miss them, is my son mowing the lawn. He's gone. And I got to push more. And I really don't want to go back to mowing again. So I thought, I said, well, Mike, I said, what do you think? You think you want to try? He goes, I'll try, Dad. The other day, 3 hours later, he finishes the lawn. How is just, he gets it from his mother. I really believe that. He gets that servanthood from his mom. But I was just struck by that. You know, just like convicted my soul. You know, Mark, you need to, don't be outdone by your 9-year-old, Mark. That's what struck me. Don't be outdone. There's so many opportunities. And God wants to use your life to influence other people. Now, many of you here in this room are currently involved serving. But some of you, maybe, I don't know, half of this room, you've been coming recently. Maybe you've been coming for a year and you've wanted to get more involved. You've not known how. If you're not involved in a ministry at all right now, I'd like you to take a moment. If you could bring the lights about just up just a little bit, Eric, so they can see this. What I'd like you to do is fill out your name, your address, and phone number very legibly. Okay? If you could print it, that would be best. You've all got a pencil. And then which location? Obviously, you're here in Bloomington. What we'd like you to do is choose one. You can choose up to three. Up to three. But at least if you choose one that you see there that would be of interest to you. The youth, the Sunday school classes, the stage setup, especially we can use help there. But there's things in all these areas. Tape library, children's ministries, stats, heart, Living Spring, everything. We could use some help. And we're going to play the CD here for a moment. And I want you to take just a moment and look it over. And then we're going to close with a song. For just a moment, if you'd bow your head with me, I'm going to say a word of prayer. And then you can take a moment and fill that out. And then the ushers will come and gather them, and there will be a special song to close the service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you demonstrated your love to us by your service. And you know, Lord, I want to be more of a servant. I really do. I don't want to be a person who sees others as an inconvenience to my day. I want to excel more. I want to grow more in my care for others. I know that I've not laid my life on the line, nearly like you have, Lord. I want you to help me. I want you to help us. I ask you, God, that you'd raise up all the servants that we need in this congregation to fill every single need and every single opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.